These lectures are part of the Great Courses series. They are produced by The Teaching Company. These lectures are titled A History of Russia from Peter the Great to Gorbachev, Part 2. Lecture 13, Alexander II and the Great Reforms.
In this lecture, we'll look at the reign of Alexander II, who ruled Russia from 1855, when his father Nicholas I died, to 1881, when he himself died in really quite unprecedented circumstances. And in particular, we're going to be looking at what became known very soon as Russia's Great Reforms, a truly stunning set of social and legal changes in Russian life brought about by the government that really did more to modernize Russia than the policies of any ruler since Peter the Great. But they were also, as I think you'll see, reforms filled, as was becoming characteristic of the age, with uncertainty and anxieties and hesitation. Some background first to this reform and this reformist ruler. As we've already seen, by the mid-1800s, generations of Russians, especially in educated society and within the state as well, had been talking about the need for reform in Russia, especially for what generally would be seen as modernizing reforms, reforms that would strengthen the state, strengthen the country, rationalize, make everything much more efficient, in particular focused around questions of economy, law, and administration. But also, it was seen that modernizing reforms meant reforms that would be more in tune with the values that were respected throughout Europe as civilized forms of government. Namely, this meant the need to end serfdom in the society and to give citizens more of a role in public life, not necessarily limiting the power of the monarchy completely, but more of a civic involvement by citizens. At the same time, of course, we've seen that the fears of the dangers of these sorts of changes tended to cause the government, in talking about such reforms, to repeatedly pull back from reformist courses, or in some cases, avoid them altogether. We saw this with Catherine II, we saw it with Alexander I, and of course, most recently, with Nicholas I. In fact, by the reign of Nicholas I, this fear of the risks of reform was growing greater than ever, as we've partly seen. In fact, it's worth remembering that Nicholas and his associates were not averse to the idea of reform at all. Indeed, they often recognized the need for major reform, even for the biggest of all reforms that were being talked about, the end of serfdom. In fact, in 1842, Nicholas I made it clear that he personally recognized the absolute necessity of ending serfdom, that it was causing social harm to the country, economic harm to the country, and even moral harm. As he put it, there's no question that serfdom is an evil, palpable and obvious to everyone. But this recognition was not enough to abolish it. As he put it quite clearly, to attack it now would be, of course, an even more disastrous evil, a criminal infringement upon the public peace and the welfare of the state. Then came two circumstances that changed this calculus of risk and benefit. The first of them was the death of Nicholas I in 1855. Frankly, liberals and radicals were quite overjoyed, or at the very least, relieved, as you might expect. But even many conservatives began to find the rule of Nicholas I to be far too stifling for them, for the good of the country. For example, a right-wing history professor named Mikhail Pogodin, a man who had been close to the throne, who had helped articulate the very ideas of official nationality that I've described before, even he had to admit that Nicholas, especially in his last years, had imposed upon Russia, in his words, the quiet of a graveyard, rotting and stinking, both physically and morally. So you can see a sense of hope and expectation came with his death.